More and more companies are turning to recovering addicts as a way to supply the needed workforce. It's not an easy decision, but it's not easy for recovering addicts to find a place in the workforce. Luke Eldridge, Jessica Miller, thank you for being with us.
Well, so I've been with workforce for going on 8 months now, working this new job as executive director of two programs within the WIOA structure. And
WIOA stands for?
Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. So we run one program, and then another one's called CSEP, but that's for individuals 55 and older. But going back to the question, one thing that we run into, and what I've seen, of course, I've done this kind of work with individuals that have history for over a decade, is businesses, I think they're coming around a little more, but when I first started, it was absolutes. If you got a history of something, we're not going to be working with you. But I think a lot of businesses have realized that they want to give individuals second chance opportunities. So we're seeing a little bit of pickup in that. And with what we do have businesses that are partnering with us to assist these individuals. I mean, even myself, three of my employees are from that. And, you know, so that's 27% of my workforce that I have are individuals, and the three that I have are probably out of my five. They're probably the top four. They're in my top five for sure, as some of the best workers I have, because of what we do, and they understand the issues, the struggles, and the everything that people run into on a regular basis coming in asking for our help, and so they help navigate them, and they can go and talk to the businesses too, and explain to them the real matters going on.
Jessica, do you see the stigma still there among an employer?
Definitely. They don't understand that second chance can help improve that person's life tremendously. When people come out of jail, they're hopeless already. And if they don't have a good paying job to go to, most of them will go right back to the streets and continue to do whatever it is that they're doing because they don't have anywhere else to go.
Is it the stigma of addiction? Is it more the legal issues that scare employers away? Is it a lot of times addiction and theft and those types of issues, they go hand in hand.
Yes, they do. And it does depend on that person's background, whether they have an aggravated charge, which means they've hurt somebody, or it's just a simple drug charge. I can understand them being hesitant if it's an aggravated charge, but if it's been enough time and they've held, they've done everything like a normal citizen does, then they should be given the second chance also.
What do you see, Luke?
Yeah, no, I agree with her. I was just actually thinking there, it's kind of like even when the housing issue we have, a lot of people, when they see backgrounds, they've been burnt too many times. But what she said too, and one thing I've argued with housing people with renters too, is that, if they've got enough time in between them, the last time they got accused of something or got arrested or whatever, you got 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, at what point do we continue holding that over their head, allowing them not to be able to move on? At some point, we've got to let this individual and help these individuals get back into a normal functioning society and a way of life, because I mean, honestly, they're some of the best employees you'll get because, after they've had that kind of time frame, they understand if I mess up again, they don't want to go back to that stuff. One of the things we're working on right now in one county is working with a jail that's going to let us use some of their trustees, and we're going to work for it. We're going to put them into work experiences, and we're going to pay for it. And while they're still in jail, but we're going to work with them. And we got two businesses that said, hey, let's try this. Let's give it a shot. We need the workers. And these are individuals that they've done time. You know, they're 1129ers. These are individuals that we're hand selecting. Obviously, we're going to pick certain one and make sure this works, because I do understand, and like, there's certain people, you know, certain charges you just got to be mindful of, and that, and I get that. I mean, I'm mindful of that too. If I hire somebody, just mindful of the charges, and well, how much time? What else have they done in between those times? Who's on their resume? Who could vouch for them? And what we're hoping is with some of these counties and some of this stuff we're going to try to be looking at doing is that it be part of their bond conditions. You work with workforce. We do that. We do that when, you know, they'll do that going to a rehab. Part of the bond. And I've asked, why don't we do that with work as well? You put that as part of their bond condition, and everybody's this way. You put the carrot out in front of most people, and they're going to try to go get it, and they're going to be very mindful of what they're trying to reach for, and whatever is being held over their head, not in a punishment way, just as a, hey, we want to work with you. We want to get you back in here, but this is what you need to do. So I've seen it like that as well.
Visiting with Jessica Miller and Luke Eldridge as we talk about workforce and the aftermath of addiction. With Luke Eldridge and Jessica Miller, we'll tell you how you can get in touch with them and the work that they do. The state's director of the opioid abatement money that is coming to the state from the various pharmaceutical companies, the various distributors of opioids over the last several years, said in a address to the Overton County Commission at a recent meeting that if we don't change our perception about those who have dealt with addiction, we're going to find ourselves with a permanent workforce problem.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Eldridge, as someone who does this every day, is that hyperbole or is that true?
I'm going to say we're going down truth on that one. And one of the reasons, a couple things you look at now, you know, years ago, we didn't have as many substance abuse issues as they are now, especially in the Upper Cumberland. I don't think there's nobody sitting in this room that it's not attached in their family somewhere. It's just like mental health and everything else. I mean, everything's just getting more and more, and we're starting to find more and more people that have a substance abuse struggle, whether it be because opioids, they got, you know, medication. It's not that this is meth. It's not that it's fentanyl. It's that it's some of this is opioid issue. Some of this is because of big pharma, and some things happen. And so I think he's absolutely right. If we don't look at overlooking some things and reevaluating what we're doing, I think we're going to run into that issue. A friend of mine, Michael Miller, he once said, and I've hung on to something that he has said, is that, you know, when we look at individuals and we look at their backgrounds, we are basing what we know off that person based on where they were at then, not the person who's sitting in front of me now. Well, that was 3 years ago, just because that was them then. That's not who they are now. And that really spoke to me when he said that in a meeting one day. I was like, you know what? We do that. We look at a resume. We look at their history and go, ooh, well, that was 3 years. Ooh, but nothing's there since then. No, there's no troubles on some of these individuals. I get it. Somebody's had the struggle. They need to go to rehab. They need to go to a long-term, not a short-term facility. They need to go to long-term. Long-term is the only thing I feel is one of the best helps. 90 days doesn't work. It takes so much time for that brain to get back to a place. I have a family member who went through so many just 30 day, 90 day, 30 day. When he went into a long-term program for that mind to get to a place, him and his wife now, both of them drug issues, but they both now work at a here in town. They've got full-time jobs. He actually has been able to get one of his kids back. I mean, his life has totally changed, because he went through a long term, and it was all mental. It was all getting that mind back to a place where he could work. But if businesses don't decide that if we don't reconsider some things, I think we're going to run into an issue with our workforce.
To that point, Jessica, what makes them such good employees?
They want to prove that they're better, that they're not the same person that they were. And they've lost everything that they had through the drug addiction. So once you're back into society and you start working on yourself and you get a job and you move up, you're working your butt off because you want to say, hey, I'm not that person that I was, that my record says I am.
And so you're overcoming then something that employers talk about constantly right now, which is motivation.
Yes.
You know, where is this motivation coming from among young people? How often do you hear that?
Yeah.
But you don't hear it. Motivation is not an issue.
Mm-mm, no. I mean, I look at work as if I can help the next person overcome whatever's got them down, then I'm going to do everything I can. Whether that's getting you your perfect job, your ideal job, whether that's helping you decide if you want to go back to school to get that better job, we're going to do everything we can to help you.
We're talking about getting those who are dealing with addiction, who are recovering addicts, getting them back in the workforce as we visit with Luke Eldridge and Jessica Miller. Luke Eldridge, Jessica Miller are with us as we talk about workforce and addiction. Jessica, are there some good stories that you've witnessed?
I work closely with Smith County Probation, and I have three right now that are going back to school that are getting to be in their children's lives again. They are in a program, a long-term program, but these people never thought they could go to school because they have charges. And when you can tell them, yes, you can go back to school, just the light in their eyes is incredible to me. Just somebody cared enough to say, I can help you get your dream job if that's really what you want. So,
Luke, who does this make sense for if we speak to the business owners of the Upper Cumberland? If you run a business, what kind of employees can you bring to the table?
You know, we can, man, a lot of these, so I think of a few businesses right now off the top of my head that could really benefit from some of the individuals that we're working with because of the strengths these individuals bring. Number one, I mean, I can justify that because I have three of the strongest. And they bring the experience, especially if it's in this realm of trying to help people, social work, stuff like that, because they realize the struggles. They've been there. So in social work, you get the hands-on experience. You get that life experience that's already been there. When it comes to other, like CDL people, a lot of times people who are truck drivers, that kind of business, they just want something to keep them busy. Being on the road, and sometimes that's best because it gets them away from where they're at and away from the struggle because they don't know nobody out wherever they're going, and it's going to keep them focused. And then, you know, your carpenters or your people building the houses, there's so much work going on, and sometimes just having these individuals just have something to do with their hands. Keep them busy. And those are long hours, long work hours. Factories are really good just because within the factory world, you know, you got a lot of good insurance sometimes in some of these places, and sometimes they need that. So it just depends on the individual. It depends on what's going on, their strengths. My cousin is really good with his hands. He's really good what he does. So he works at a factory right now, but he's done so well, him and his wife. The company's actually increasing, giving him more opportunity to be successful. He's had the determination. And a lot of these individuals, if they've got it, if they've been in there long enough, sometimes people just fall into things just because they had no one to help them. But when somebody comes up and starts to help them, their mind will change, and they will focus on that because, number one, they don't want to let that person down that's helping them because mom doesn't care, dad didn't care. Finally, somebody cared, and they're not going to want to let that person down. So when they have somebody holding them by the hand, working with them, there's a little bit more of a carrot before the horse, if you will, and they don't want to let that person down. But if you're needing work, going back to your question though, but if you're just needing somebody and you're willing to give it a shot, you know, reach out to us, call me, call somebody. I'm in 12 different, we're in 12 different counties. We have a business, we have an operation in at least 12 of our counties out of 14, but we cover so many. And we can get you in touch with somebody. So you could call our Cookeville office, ask for myself, ask for Jessica, and we'll get you in place to who you need to talk with, especially businesses or somebody looking for a job that feels that they can't get back into the workforce.
Are you open to a call from a business who says, you know, hey, I'd be willing to do this. Here's the kind of job that I'm looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what we'll do is we have over 600 something people we're working with in the Upper Cumberland right now. And so what we can do is we can send that out to whoever, if it's in that realm, in that location, and then see what we can do to pull somebody in. I'm actually doing that right now with a local business. They're needing potential office work. And we have somebody who's come through our office who used to be a paralegal. And so we're going to try to attach them there. And then I've got a contractor who's willing to give somebody, he goes, I'll give anybody a shot. And we're going to pay for them to work there. We got another county is just, they're really trying to get out of the distressed county. And I think we can narrow that down. It's, it's a Clay County. And so we're working with Doug down there, Doug, that chamber, and we're going to be meeting with five businesses pretty soon and explaining what we're trying to do and working with individuals coming coming in from reentry. So we're getting it out there, and we'll have anybody. If you're just looking for a job, you can come see us and we will help you get there.